I want us to turn to John chapter 16, and we're going to start reading from verse 12 through 15, so just these four verses. And we are now on part 9 of our Fortified series. Those of you who are just joining us, we decided during the summer months to actually do a series called Fortify. We're trying to fortify or strengthen our faith, especially, as you know, when it comes to even exercising or a lot of things in life, the core of who you are, it has to be strong in order to hold all the other parts. So we want to strengthen and fortify our faith so that whatever God has in store for us, especially this coming new season, we'll be able to faithfully and obediently follow Jesus Christ. And so we are on part 9. We're going to talk about spirituality with counsel, really developing our spirituality as we practice some of these spiritual habits. And we're going to talk about just counsel from other people, hearing the voice of God. I'm excited to share all this with you. So hopefully you turn to John chapter 16. Just kind of put a pause on that passage there. I want to start off, and I'm wondering how many of you in this room have heard of the phrase or the words blind spot? Anybody? Have you heard of that word? You know, it's kind of interesting because this word oftentimes is used in the context of driving. So here's a picture, those of you who might not know. If you look at this picture, the red car is the car, and the black area, the darkened area, is called the blind spot. So if you don't adjust your mirrors correctly, these are the spots you will not be able to see from your rear view mirror unless you turn your head. That's why they call this the blind spot. But just so that you understand where this concept came from, this concept of blind spot is really more of a physiological a concept of the human eye. Those of you who are familiar with this, those of you who studied biology or whatever, you probably understand what's going on. Here's a picture of the human eye. And one of the things that you will notice in this picture is you have the eye here, okay? This is the eye. The cornea is right out here, and this is your lens. Those of us who have bad eyes, this thing is messed up, all right? Pray hard. Some of you got laser surgery, and so they fixed this area right in here. What I want you to focus in on is these blood vessels that brings it through this optic nerve. And in this optic nerve where the blood flows, you come to this area where there's an optic disc. Okay, I know some of you are thinking, why are we studying biology, okay? Welcome to Biology 101, you know. There will be a lot of things you will learn in life if you come on Sundays, not just the Word of God. It does kind of look weird, but, you know, this is a university setting. So anyway, so right here is the optic disc. Now, the problem is this, is that in this optic nerve and where the blood vessels go through and it hits the optic disc, this is the one area right in here where it, when it hits the retina, which is retina, this whole area here, it's the one area that literally you cannot see. So pretty much they have photoreceptor cells right in here all over the retina. And what happens is that in this area, it doesn't have any. So there's that small little area where it doesn't have the photoreceptor cells. And therefore, this is where you have this thing called a blind spot. Now, we're going to actually do this morning. We're going to do a blind spot experiment. So I'm going to go ahead and have the greeters come forward and hand out this sheet of paper to you. All of you need to receive the sheet of paper. And as you're receiving this paper, I'm going to give you some specific instructions to help you to realize that all of us in this room, if you're a human being, if you're breathing, you have a blind spot. So I'm going to actually demonstrate it for you. All right, so go ahead and turn the paper towards you with the R and the L. Put it at arm's length. And what I'm going to ask you to do at this time is to close or cover your right eye. Okay, so hold it in your other hand or however you want to do it. And what I want you to do is with your left eye, focus on the letter L for left. And then start moving it slowly until you could no longer see the R. Is it working?
Yeah.
Okay. Do you see that moment where you no longer can see the R? Some of you are still lost. Some of you are spinning around. And it has nothing to do with spinning around. It's just moving it slowly, all right? Try it with your other eye. So cover up your left eye and look at the R. Look at the R and slowly move it towards you. And you'll realize there's a point where you can no longer see the L. How many of you have gotten this? Okay, some of you are still lost. Let me try to explain one more time. Since most of us are right-handed, I'm going to ask you to take your left hand. I realize that we've got to be very explicit. Take your left hand, cover your left eye, stick this piece of paper in your right hand. Are you following? Put it at arm's distance and stare at the R. Okay, just hold it there and stare at the R. I want you to move it at 0.05 miles per hour. I don't know how fast. Move it really slow as you focus on the R, really slow. And there will come a point where you will no longer see the L. Do we get it?
Yes.
Praise God. I was going to say, move the paper really slowly. What is that? This past, or whatever. Anyway, okay. We all have blind spots in our lives. And I think too often, all of us here, we're too proud to acknowledge that we have these blind spots. Because when you think about it, all of our lives, we're trying to grow up in a way that we have to be more self-sufficient and very independent from the things around us. So ever since you were a little kid, you've been taught how to be very self-sufficient, very independent. And I say this over and over again because if some of us have been brought up in just specific cultures or maybe just even in Asia, one of the things I've noticed is that it's all about what you can do. And so you learn very quickly not to depend on other people. It's all about you being very self-sufficient. And I think this comes to a sharp focus when it comes to making decisions in our lives. I think we have a tendency to trust ourselves, our wisdom, our ability to make decisions. But at the end, you realize that some of the decisions that we make are not the best decisions or are not the wisest decisions. And that's why for me personally, I'm thankful that I have people in my life who can actually speak into my life of various things that when it comes to certain decisions, not only that, but specifically, I'm thankful for Christina that she's in my life. I don't know how many times that she has pointed out things that I haven't even, I wasn't able to notice because it's within my blind spot of different things, whether it's character or my interactions with people or the way I respond to certain situations or certain things that I have done or decisions that I make. I realize without having her or even other people in my life, I realize I probably would have made some worse decisions that I've made even up to this point. And I think for all of us here, since we're imperfect, all of us are still a work in progress, we all have various spiritual blind spots in our lives. And I think this is more the reason why we need to learn how to train ourselves to listen to God's voice. Also, we need to learn how to seek counsel from our mentors and other people. I want to challenge some of us. I know for many of us, this is very new to you, to be able to try to talk to people who are older, who have gone on this journey a little bit longer than you, who are a little bit more spiritually mature than you, to be able to seek their counsel so that before you make any major decisions in your life, you're able to seek their counsel, their advice, and then pray through and then hear the voice of God and then make the decision. I like what John Ortberg said. Listen to what he said in his book, The Life You've Always Wanted. He says this, one reason why we fail to hear God speak is that we are not attentive. We suffer from what might be called spiritual mindlessness. This is a problem with so many people in the church, is that we are literally blinded by our own just spiritual mindlessness. We don't think through, we don't realize how important it is to hear the voice of God. So in order to build up our spiritual attentiveness and to work on overcoming our spiritual mindlessness, we want to train and practice the spiritual habit of listening to God's voice and seeking counsel from others. So let me give us the one thing. I hope you get this. It's simply this, that we're able to rejoice when we make the choice to listen to God's voice. Okay, let me say it again. That we're able to rejoice. It's going to fill our hearts with joy when we're able to make this choice, a decision we make to say, I'm going to listen to God's voice. There are two specific things I'm going to highlight for us in this passage. It's a short passage, but it's in the context of a larger passage during Jesus's that last night before he was going to be crucified. And the first point is simply this, that the Holy Spirit will guide us. It's the Holy Spirit who will guide us. Let's go ahead and read verse 12. And this is what the Word of God says in verse 12. It says, I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. I want to pause here and just make a comment as we just read John chapter 16, verse 12. As we put this story in context, we have to understand what Jesus is trying to say to the disciples at this point. In different translations of verse 12, you will notice Jesus' heart of understanding and compassion, his patience, his sensitivity to where the disciples were at that time. Listen to what the New Living Translation says. Oh, there is so much more I want to tell you, but you cannot bear it now. That it is just too overwhelming for you. Look at the Message translation. I still have many things to tell you, but you can't handle them now. What we notice here is that Jesus knew that the disciples could not handle any more spiritual truths than they have already been taught and they've heard from Jesus at this time. Pretty much, it was too much at one time. It was almost as if Jesus was saying, you guys are at your maximum capacity to understand my will and God's will, my Father's will, and God's heart. As I thought about this, I realized, I'm wondering how many of us are thankful that Jesus knows how much we could handle at one time. Amen? See, a lot of you can agree with that. You guys are, yes, amen and amen. But deep in your heart and the way you respond to God, it tells a different story. What I mean by this is simply, there's so many of us in this room that want to know a lot of things about life, about your future. But if Jesus told you, if God, the Holy Spirit told you right now what it is that you're going to be doing 10 years from now, some of you will disobey and run away. You will convert to another religion, maybe. I don't know. Some of you are like, no, Pastor, I really want to know. Yeah, wouldn't it be awesome if he told you who you will marry? Some of you are like, please, let him tell me right now who I'm going to marry. And I'm telling you right now, you don't want to know. Because you're not ready. Because it might not be the person that you think it is. Or it might not be the type of person that you feel like you need or you want. Because if he really told you who you're going to marry, some of you would not, you will run away. The information is too great for you. The capacity for you to understand is beyond your knowledge. What if he told you some of you will face some hardships in your life? I don't know if some of us will be rejoicing. If some of you knew exactly when certain things were going to happen, I don't know if some of us will really trust in God fully. I think we will try to take matters into our own hands. And that's why when you look at earlier in chapter 13, chapter 14, and chapter 15, Jesus was teaching the disciples about loving one another. He also talked about how he's going to die. He also shared about how one of them will betray them. He even spoke to Peter directly, and he says, you're going to betray me 3 times. It hasn't happened, but it's going to happen. And you know the response of Peter, oh, that will never happen. Until the rooster crowed 3 times, and he realized that's exactly what Jesus was talking about. These are not things that can be processed so easily. You have to listen to me carefully, just as we start off on this verse. The stuff that we want to know, we will not be able to handle. That's why you see the compassion and the love of Jesus and the love of God, that He knows where you are. He knows that some of you spiritually, if God told you exactly what's going to happen this coming year, you will not be able to handle it. That's why He's trying to raise you and to train you so that when those things do happen, you'll be able to persevere with His grace. How many times did the disciples hear the teachings of Christ, but they could not grasp the full meaning of what He was trying to say at that moment? As I was thinking about this, I said, you know, Jesus had to explain things to them, and even then, they still didn't understand. It's only when you look towards the end of the Gospels, and even then, at the end of the Gospel, they still didn't understand fully. It was only at Acts chapter 2, when we see the event and the celebration of the Pentecost, the Feast of Weeks, when they came together, that's when the Holy Spirit came upon them and they fully understand this is what Jesus was talking about. So I want us to just kind of think about this for a moment. I want us to pause here. Here's Jesus speaking to disciples. He goes, there's so much more I want to tell you, but you can't bear it right now. It's going to be too much for you. So in that love, in that compassion, He then continues, and listen to what He says in starting in verse 13. Let's read verse 13. It says this: when the Spirit of truth comes, He will guide you into all the truth, for He will not speak on His own authority, but whoever He hears, He will speak, and He will declare to you the things that are to come. Now we need to unpackage verse 13 so that we can understand what it is that Jesus is trying to teach. I'm going to focus on several key words in this verse to give us understanding of how the Holy Spirit will guide us when it comes to listening to God's voice. The first word I want you to focus in on is the word when. You see the word when. Jesus gives a specific time frame of the Holy Spirit coming to teach them everything that they need to know. Jesus mentions to the disciples that the Spirit will come as a promise. Now, this is the part that's very exciting. Listen to me carefully. That even though they didn't know when, one of the things that they understood is that there was a promise that was given to them that the Holy Spirit will come. Earlier in John chapter 14, verse 26, He speaks about the same thing. Listen to what He says. But the Helper, or the Counselor, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in My name, He will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I have said to you. So I want you to focus on those words. Will send. So it's a promise. He's going to do it. He's going to send this Counselor, this Holy Spirit, the Helper. And it says He's going to then teach you all things. Everything you need to know that's within the capacity that you can understand, the Holy Spirit's going to teach you. And He's going to bring to your remembrance everything that I've been teaching about. It's going to come to fruition. You're going to understand. And we know that the Holy Spirit will eventually come after the death and the resurrection. And in Acts chapter 2, and this promise came true. The Holy Spirit came. And I think it was during this time when they fully understood this is why Jesus did what He did. This is why He had to die. This is the reason why He resurrected. I think the exciting part is that when we have the Holy Spirit, which we do now, the Holy Spirit can speak to us and teach us all things. Can I get a good amen to that? That's the beauty of now living after the resurrection of Jesus Christ. The Holy Spirit's here. And He could actually speak to us and teach us all things. That's why He guides us, and He will guide us. The second word that I want us to focus in on is the word truth. Everyone say truth. The Holy Spirit is reference to the Spirit of what? Truth. Now, in other places, we are reminded that Jesus Christ is the truth and that God's Word is the truth. John chapter 14, verse 6, listen to what it says. Jesus says, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through Me. John chapter 17, verse 17, listen to what it says. Sanctify them by the truth. Your word is truth. Why is this important? When it comes to being led by the Holy Spirit and listening to the Holy Spirit and being guided by the Holy Spirit, one of the things that we need to come to the just acceptance in our lives is that when it comes to knowing God's will and knowing what He wants from us, it is consistent with His truth. What I'm trying to say is simply this, that everything that God will reveal to you, it does not contradict His word, the truth. And this is where I realized that we have to be very careful, because there are some people that I know, and I try to counsel through some people who are going through some decision making. And it's really interesting, because you have to be very careful of people who claim that the Spirit led them. Oh, God spoke to me. And the reason why I say you got to be careful of this is because oftentimes when some of these things are inconsistent with God's word, then that is not from God. Can I get a good amen to that? That means that that's their own personal preference or their own personal idea or opinion on something, but it's not from God. That's why you got to know the word of God, the truth, in order to be able to distinguish if this is really God or the Spirit leading, or is this just human spirit where we want to do something. And the more I understand myself, the more we understand ourselves, you will come to the realization that we are very good at justifying and rationalizing anything. Trust me. That person just looks at you, but they weren't looking at you. They were looking at the person behind you and go, she likes me. No, she doesn't. I don't know how many times I had to counsel men in our church that she does not like you. How do you know? She looked at me this way. I talked to her. She does not like you. I mean, sometimes you could be very blunt, but they will not listen. There are times when they go, I feel it. That God wants me to work at that company. I go, how do you know? As I was walking by that building, my stomach was turning. And they just ate a burrito bowl or whatever it is. And it's turning their stomach. And they somehow feel like this is a sign from God. I would say this, be very wary of those kind of people who always say, oh, I feel something, or this is from God. Because if it's inconsistent with the truth, then it's not from God. It's their own opinion. The third word that I want you to focus in on is the word guide. Everyone say guide. The phrase that you will notice in verse, as we just read here in verse 13, it says this, He will guide you into all the truth. It means that the Spirit will help the disciples understand everything that they needed to understand. See, the disciples in this moment only had partial understanding about the person and the work of Jesus. But when the Holy Spirit comes, and it's ready here now, in our context, He's going to guide us and lead us. And one thing that you will notice here in verse 13, it says, the Holy Spirit will not speak on His own authority, but rather speak on the things of God's heart and what He has commanded to speak. So listen to me carefully. That's why we need to invite the Holy Spirit to speak to us, because the Holy Spirit is the guide and the counselor, the helper, who speaks the very words of God to us so that we can understand. That's why I want to challenge some of us who try to do our SOAP, which is our Bible reading, and just trying to do our devotions. I want to challenge you not to read the Bible without at least praying in the beginning. It doesn't have to be a long prayer, just literally a 10-second prayer. Holy Spirit, You are the guide. Open up my eyes. Help me to understand what I'm reading. You need to pray this, especially when you read the book of Numbers. You don't know what's going on. And there's so many other books, you have no clue what's going on. And you know what you do, because you have to do it, so you just skim through it, right? It's just like, okay. Adam all the way down to whatever that other person's name, and then we're done. Just skim through it. And the worst is the kings, right? You just kind of, okay, whatever. And we just run through it. I'm telling you right now, if we believe that the Holy Spirit speaks the very words of God, then before you open up the Bible, you're not trying to understand it on your own, because you cannot. There are some things in Scripture that you will not fully understand. That's why we need to pray to the Holy Spirit to help illuminate the truth in our lives. I think that's the same way for us, that the Holy Spirit will lead us and guide us right now in our lives. Therefore, we need to practice the prayer of the psalmist. Listen to what he prayed in Psalm 25, verse 5. Listen to what it says. Lead me by your truth and teach me, for you are the God who saves me. All day long, I will put my hope in you. Just what a simple prayer. You could literally say this in about 6-7 seconds. Lead me, God. Lead me to the truth. You're the one who could save me. Psalm 43, verse 3. Listen to what it says in the NIV. Send forth your light and your truth. Let them guide me. Let them bring me to your holy mountain, to the place where you dwell. So Lord, bring the light. Shine the light upon this passage that I'm reading or the situation that I'm in. Help me to understand. The last word I want us to focus in on are the words, are to come. This phrase, are to come. It shows us there are things in the future, listen to me, that are not yet revealed at this moment. But it will be as the Spirit makes it known, not only to the disciples, but also to us. So there are a lot of things that are to come in your life that the Holy Spirit wants to speak to you about, but He's not, because your capacity to understand is not there. So continue to grow, continue to seek God, but there will be things that He will speak to you about that are to come. Your future. Where you're going to live. What you're going to be doing. What major. What job. Who you're going to marry. All these things are to come. But He has not revealed that to you at this moment. And that's why it should elicit greater trust and greater faith in God. This coming new season, it has yet to come. But we're trusting in Him, and we're believing that the Holy Spirit will reveal to us what's going to happen as we continue to walk with Him, as He leads us and guides us. What a great promise that He is our counselor who guides us. That's why in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 10, and also verse 12 and verse 16, in the New Living Translation, listen to what Apostle Paul said. But we know these things because God has revealed them to us by His what? Spirit. It's only by the Spirit that these things are revealed. And His Spirit searches out everything and shows us even God's deep secrets. The things of God's heart, it's revealed to us by the Spirit. As you know, He's talking about the wisdom of God and not from the wisdom of this world. People who boast in the things that they have and the eloquence and all these things. But these things were revealed, not because they were special, but because God in His grace revealed these things to them. It was the Holy Spirit. Searches out everything and shows us even the deep secrets of God or God's deep secrets. Verse 12. And God has actually given us His Spirit, not of the world's spirit, so that we can know the wonderful things God has freely given to us. Verse 16. How could they, for who can know what the Lord is thinking? Who can give Him counsel? But we can understand these things because we have what? The mind of Christ. See, you have the mind of Christ when you allow the Holy Spirit to guide you. So when you look at a situation, you are able to see it with the mind of Christ because the Holy Spirit is revealing these things to you. When you have to make a decision, you don't make it all about yourself. But you make decisions because you have the mind of Christ and He's giving you insights in how to make those decisions. Can I ask us this morning, as we think about this first point of how the Holy Spirit will guide us, are some of us in this room demanding God to show us things that are yet revealed to us? And we fail to see that we have this maximum capacity that we can't go anymore because the things that we already know, we're not even understanding. Are you honestly open and available to God if He speaks to you about something? Especially when it's very uncomfortable and it's going to cost you, where you have to be sacrificial, where you have to be willing to lay down your life. Are you sure you want God to reveal some of these things to you? Are we allowing the Holy Spirit to lead and guide us in our decisions? Because He's the Spirit of truth. Or are we allowing the spirit of Seth or the spirit of Billy Bob? Or I don't know. I keep on using his name. I don't know. There one day will be a Billy Bob. And I'm like, I'm going to have to ask for forgiveness. but Mr. Wong, you know, and when was the last time you actually double-checked or cross-checked those convictions that you felt like God spoke to you about? It's the Holy Spirit who will guide us. Let me close with the second point. The Holy Spirit will not only guide us, but we'll see in the next two verses that the Holy Spirit will glorify God. It's the glorification of God Almighty. Let's read verse 14 and 15. Listen to what Jesus says after he mentions what he did in verse 12 and verse 13. He says this, "He will glorify me, for he will take what is mine and declare it to you. All that the Father has is mine. Therefore, I said that he will take what is mine and declare it to you." Now, that might be a little bit hard to understand, but I want to try to unpackage this so you understand how the Holy Spirit will glorify God. The reason why Jesus can say that the Spirit will glorify himself or glorify him, him being Jesus, is because everything that he has, it was given to him by God the Father. So think about it this way. God the Father gave all things to Jesus, and now Jesus is communicating and giving all things to the Holy Spirit, who will now be our guide and our counselor. And the reason why this is so important is Jesus Christ, listen to me, Jesus Christ is the visible representation of who God is. So when people see Jesus, they will see God. In fact, we get this concept because Apostle Paul teaches this to the people of Colossae. Colossians chapter 1, verse 15, listen to what it says. Christ is the visible image of the what? Invisible God. We can't see God, but we see Jesus. And the disciples saw Jesus. So they weren't able to see God, but they saw Jesus. And because when you see Jesus, you're going to be able to see God. He existed before God made anything at all and is supreme over all creation. Listen to what the Message translation says of that verse. We look at his son and see the God who cannot be seen. We look at his son and see God's original purpose in everything created. So when you look to Jesus, you're going to be able to see a glimpse of God's heart for this world and for you, for me, for us as a church. And therefore, Jesus is glorified as the Spirit reveals everything about the person and the work of Jesus Christ. So think about it this way. As the Spirit reveals the knowledge of who Jesus is to the people, Jesus then will be glorified by the people. The Spirit will show who Jesus is to people. People will see this is Jesus, and then they will begin to glorify who Jesus is. That's what Jesus is saying. And everything that Jesus has is from God. Therefore, everything that the Spirit reveals about Jesus is really revealing about God. And therefore, God is ultimately honored, praised, and glorified. The key thing that I want us to remember is that when the Spirit leads Christ's followers into the truth, which will always help us to see Jesus because Jesus says, I am the truth. And because Jesus obeyed the Father, God is going to be glorified. Now, what relevance does this have for us in our lives? The reason why all this I shared in these two points are important is because every single one of us in this room will have to make either small or big decisions in our lives. And hopefully, I want to believe that every single one of you in this room want to glorify God through your decisions. This is the reason why this passage is important for us, because all of us will need to make decisions and all of us want to glorify God. And so I think this is the reason why we have to practice the spiritual habit of listening to God's voice, the Spirit's prompting, and also learning how to obey as we seek counsel. So let me quickly give you, as I establish the Holy Spirit who is going to guide us and the Holy Spirit who will glorify God, let me give us just five quick things to keep in mind as we're trying to hear from God and to obey His word. First thing is this, communion with God. What I mean by that is simply, it is so critical that you are walking with God as you're trying to discern His will. You know, I talk to many people and they go, man, you know, Pastor, how do some people just know what it is that God wants? And I'm going to tell you, they don't have any spiritual powers. You know what it is? They either been walking with God for a very long time or they know God's word. It's that simple. They know God's word. They know God's heart. And because of that, they're able to pray and they're able to discern and they know what it is that God wants. That's why when you talk to anyone who's spiritually immature or a young believer, they have a really hard time knowing God's will because they don't know God's heart. That's why I want to just challenge us, because I know we're all at different spiritual levels. To those of you who are just a young Christian, you're new, or maybe you've been a Christian for a long time, but you just never had a strong walk with God. I want to challenge you to really be able to know His will and to hear, be led by His promptings. You have to grow in your relationship with God. You have to commune with Him. That's why you have to read the Word. That's why you have to pray. That's why you discipline yourself to have this intimate and close relationship and communion with God. That's the first thing. The second thing is this, consistency with God's Word. The Bible is our standard. And therefore, whatever we feel like God is speaking to us about, it cannot be in contradiction or go against God's word. So whatever, you're like, can I kill that person? Very simple. No, you cannot. Because the Bible says, do not murder. And even when it comes to, well, I just don't like that person. Well, the Bible tells us to forgive and to love people. And so whatever it is that you're thinking, whatever it is that you're praying about, whatever it is that you're trying to understand and discern, if it is inconsistent with God's word, then it is your own opinion and your own feeling in this. Can I also, once again, push the importance of reading the Bible? You know, those of us who are part of our life group ministry, our small group ministry, you know that we stress a lot on discipleship and we want you to grow in reading the Bible. We have this thing called a BRP, which is Bible Reading Plan. Every single day, you read a certain portion of scripture, and then you write out your observations and the application and your prayer. Very simple. That's why we use the acronym SOAP, Scripture, Observation, Application, and Prayer. And some of you, I heard you send it out to your LCG, your Life Change Group Partner, Accountability Partner. Some of you send it out to your group or whatever you do. That's great. That's part of learning how to develop this training aspect of knowing God's word. Keep on doing it. Don't give up. Don't get discouraged. I want to also encourage you, especially as we're talking about consistency with God's word, to start memorizing scripture. We've been encouraging you to do that. You don't have to go on a missions project to start doing it. Start doing it now. Start off with once a week. One a week. That's it. You know, I used to get so like, I'm just lost for words right now. I used to just get shocked when there were some guys in our church who knew every single sports stats of all their favorite teams. I mean, it's incredible. They literally memorized the stats of these players. And there are also people who memorize like these Jane Austen books. You know, they have these specific lines that they just memorize. And there are people who literally are so good at memorizing lines from movies. And they just watched it once. And I know some people who watch TV shows for so many years, they could literally tell you what the next line is when you just give them a specific sequence. And you're like, amazing. So whenever I hear people like, hey, I'm not good at memorization. Yeah, I'm not really good at I go, liar. Stats of sports players will not transform your life. Jane Austen will transform your life, but in a bad way. Because you're going to start having all these rosy views of what a guy should. It's going to mess you up. Memorizing lines in movies, I don't know how it's going to transform you. Except if it's Spider-Man and it's with great power comes great responsibility. I mean, that's a biblical principle. But the word of God will transform you. I've hidden the word in my heart so that I might not sin against you. That's how a young man or a person can keep their word pure, way pure, by keeping that word hidden in their hearts. I pray that we will have the scripture in our hearts, in our lives, so that when we're trying to listen to the Holy Spirit, we can quickly say, this is consistent with what God says. Now, let me just pause here and let me just say this. I know there are so many decisions you have to make that the Bible doesn't actually talk about. Wouldn't it be awesome if literally, like, everything that you want to know, it's all in the Bible? Where did giraffes come from? Genesis chapter 3, you know, and then you're like, oh, giraffes were born. And you're like, yes, you know, like, the Bible is true. Wouldn't it be awesome? Have you thought about that? There are so many things in life and decisions that you have to make, excuse me, decisions that you have to make that are not specifically spelled out in the Bible. They're not explicit, but they're implicit because they're consistent with who God is in his character. That's why I'm challenging some of us. If you really want to know what it is that God wants you to do, you want to know his heart, you want to know his will, you want to know what's coming up, you want to live by faith, you got to know the word of God. Memorize it, study it. The third thing is this, quickly here, conviction with faith. As I shared earlier, so many people mistake personal opinion for a conviction. That's why I always tell people an opinion is merely a preference that can be changed at any time. Our family got introduced to bubble tea. And we enjoy bubble tea. We do. And the first bubble tea we were introduced was Gong Cha. This is no endorsement of any company or anything like that. Or disrespect to any company. But that was the first bubble tea that our family was introduced to, which was Gong Cha. And I remember I'm like, oh my God, this is phenomenal. I'm like, there must be a God who created somebody to make this kind of bubble tea. It was like so awesome. And then just out of just different circumstances, I had share tea. And I had their bubble tea and I tasted it. And I go, oh my God, Gong Cha, get out of here. It's like share tea. It's the bubble tea. I remember I was like, that day was like a discovery for me. It was a whole new world. I was just like, wow, this is amazing. I thought Gong Cha was it, but share tea, just something about the tea, it just tastes so much better. So then I was telling my family, oh, we're going to go to share tea. They're like, it's all the same. I go, no, it's not. And we're like, well, share tea. And so we started drinking share tea. And then recently, we got introduced to Tenmen. And I said, Ten who? I had no clue what this is, but my daughter and my son, I mean, they enjoy it. And so they were talking about Tenmen, and they always want Tenmen. And there's one station that they always want to stop by because they want to get that bubble tea. I'm like, well, what's a big deal? I thought I died and resurrected and saw Jesus face to face. This is the Jesus of all bubble teas. So now I could categorize and say Tenmen, share tea, and Gong Cha, and all the other imitation stuff. Some of you are like, okay, so what does this have to do with listening to God's voice? Many of us, we have these opinions, preferences. But you know what the problem is with that? It changes all the time. But a conviction is something that is so deeply rooted in the Word of God that you put your whole life on, and this is something you're willing to die for. And it will you cannot change a conviction unless it changes you. That's why part of learning to listen to the Holy Spirit and to be able to know His will is that when you have the Bible and when the Spirit speaks to you, it's not your opinion or your preference, but when it is the conviction with faith, you know that it is consistent with God's word and you're willing to lay down your life. That's why we need to develop our prayer life. See, all these spiritual disciplines we've been talking about for the last month and a half, 2 months, they're all connected. You cannot build conviction without prayer. Some of you are thinking like, I want conviction. I want conviction. How do I get this conviction? It's not going to just come to you as you're eating fried rice or your noodles. It literally comes when you're in the prayer closet, when you're praying. And as you're praying, God will speak to you. And as he speaks to you, you realize it's not an opinion. It's not a preference. It's a conviction from the Holy Spirit. This is what I'm willing to stand by. Because you're going to have parents. You're going to have friends. You're going to have circumstances. You're going to have people who will tell you things that are otherwise that might not be what God wants you to do. And that's why you have to be able to stand on your conviction. It has to come with faith. That's why some of the craziest people who have done some of the craziest things for God, they had strong convictions. They were willing to lay down their lives for those things. The fourth thing is this, counsel from mentors. You know, it's important to get counsel or advice from others, especially from the people that you respect and those who are walking this walk, who have been walking this walk longer than you. Listen to some of these verses. Proverbs chapter 15, verse 22, it says this, without counsel, plans fail, but with many advisors, they succeed. Listen to all these different translations of this one verse. Plans go wrong for lack of advice. Many counselors bring success. The New American Standard Bible says this, without consultation, plans are frustrated, but with many counselors, they succeed. The New King James Version says this, without counsel, plans go awry, but in the multitude of counselors, they are established. What a great reminder. You might have some of the greatest plans. Oh yeah, I'm going to take these classes. I'm going to do this. I'm going to go on exchange. I'm going to do all this stuff. I'm going to take this job. I'm going to go out with this person. And some of you have not even prayed, nor did you seek counsel. And the scripture tells us that if you don't seek counsel, your plans are not going to necessarily, it's going to be frustrated. Because a lot of times we're blinded. We have these blind spots because we only want to hear what we want to hear. We only want to see what we want to see. That's in line with our opinion and our preference. What if God tells you something that it's not what you want to hear? What if God tells you something that you don't want to do? But he's telling you, this is my heart. This is my will for you. This is what I want you to do. Would you do it? That's why having people around you who know God and who have been walking with God, they've heard the voice of God many, many times. They can distinguish the voice of God. You want to get their input. It doesn't mean you have to listen to everything that they say. Please don't misunderstand me. But at least get their input. And then you take that into your prayer closet and then you hear from God. But the problem with some of us is this, and I'm going to be very honest with you at this moment. There are so many people who come up to me for advice. But I already know they already made a decision. I see so many of those people. Pastor Seth, can I meet with you? I'm trying to make a decision. And as I ask a couple questions, I already know right away they've already made a decision. And in that moment, I'm not going to give you any advice. That's just how I operate. I'm not trying to, why do I have to try to convince you otherwise? If you already made a decision and what you're trying to do is you're asking me to just approve of your decision. I will not do that. Especially if I don't think it's the will of God, I am not going to approve of your decision. And I'm not going to be responsible of the decision you make. And if it doesn't go well, you're going to blame it on whom? I don't need that stuff. My life is already complicated. I don't need that. Okay? I don't need that from you. But Pastor said, you said, or Pastor Seth said, I don't care what. No. That's why I'm just like, oh, okay, yeah. So you know what I, you know, I go, uh-huh. So when I have that serious, yeah, okay. Yeah, I think you just got to pray. That should tip you off that says, I've already made a decision. But if you come and say, Pastor Seth, I really don't know. And here are these options. I'm trying to pray through it. I don't know. Can you help me to at least try to sift through some of the stuff? Let me just give you one word of advice. I'm going to make you more confused. That's a gift that I have. I make people more confused. Because what I do is I go, okay, this option A, you have option B and option C. I literally tear apart option A. And then I rip apart option B. And I destroy option C. And then all of a sudden you're like, and it's no longer A, B, and C. It's like A through Z. You're like, what am I going to do? So you go back home and that's when I want you to pray and hear from God. Seek counsel. Another verse, Proverbs 12, verse 15, it says, the way of a fool is right in his own eyes, but a wise man listens to advice. Message translation, fools are what?
Headstrong.
And do what they like. Wise people take advice. And I realized my wife learned the art of this passage. Because sometimes she just looks at it. And she doesn't say, but I can just tell from my eyes, you are foolish and headstrong. And you're going to do whatever you like. So you just make your own decision. This is the part I get scared. Because over the years, I was just like, yeah, she's letting me do whatever I want to do. But now, whenever she goes, do whatever you want, I go, wait a minute, something's not right. Because I don't know how many times I've been so strong-headed, thick-headed, foolish, and trying to make certain decisions. And that's when I just realized her conclusion is, I could never change your opinion. I could never try to make you do something. Because you're so rebellious. So I'm just going to let you fall on your face, make a mistake, and you'll learn. I'm like, thanks a lot. But now, every time she goes, do whatever you want. I feel like there's somebody coming from behind. I get really nervous. Proverbs 19, verse 20. Listen to advice and accept instruction that you may gain wisdom in the future. I'm just giving you a handful of verses in scripture that talk about getting advice, seeking counsel when you make decisions. Can I just give you another word of advice? Don't. Pastor Seth, hi, how are you? I know it's 2 o'clock in the morning. But I don't know what to wear tomorrow. I will literally delete you from my WhatsApp. There are some decisions I don't really care. You do whatever you want to do. Should I grow out my hair and then cut it really short? Then go ahead and do that. Do whatever you want to do. But when it's things that literally change direction, your course of life, then yeah, if you contact me 2 in the morning, I will try to give some response to that, especially because it's going to literally have an impact on your life. So I want to just give you some encouragement. If there's any decision that's going to change the trajectory of where you're going to be, what you're going to be doing, then it's good to get advice. Talk to some older brothers and older sisters, your mentors. And lastly, community of believers. This is such an important part of discerning God's will and listening to the Holy Spirit, because you will then be able to test your convictions, because in a biblical community, that's where you find support. God uses, listen, this is so important. I'm realizing more and more, God uses people's testimonies and stories to speak to us. That's why there's power in the community of believers. Because when you're hearing other people's story and things that they've gone through, that you're going through right now, because you're trying to make a decision, what it does is that it helps you to guide you. What can I learn from that person's mistake? What can I learn from that person's wise decision? Man, I want to be like that. And so this community of believers, it's so important for you to be able to grow in listening. And also, when you make decisions, it might not always work out. That's why you have the support of the community of believers. I love what Richard Foster said in his book, Celebration of Discipline. Listen to what he says. God does guide the individual richly and profoundly, but he also guides groups of people and can instruct the individual through the group experience. Perhaps our preoccupation with private guidance is a product of our Western individualism. He's speaking as an American, and in the Western circle, it's all about the individual. It's about me. And what he's saying is that we've been brought up in this kind of like privatized faith, and it's all about my decision. I don't need to have anyone else speak to me. I'm going to do what I'm going to do. And he's saying that you are missing a big part of this community when there are people who can support you and pray for you. What I've noticed in the Asian culture, listen to me carefully, we think not so much individually, but also more as a group. So on one hand, we do seek advice, but the problem is we struggle so much with people pleasing. So if someone in authority or somebody that you respect or somebody that you're trying to please, they tell you something, some of you, when God tells you something else, it's so hard for you to try to listen to God because you are in this mindset of, oh my God, what's going to happen? I'm going to affect all these people. And that's why I think we need that good balance of check and balance where you got to hear from God. But also as you seek advice, then you put all these things on the table and you pray in your prayer closet, let God speak to you, and then you respond. And allow the community of believers to be a part of that process. So the one thing, once again, is that we are able to rejoice when we make the choice to listen to God's voice. May this be a priority in our lives. And you cannot get this overnight. You have to practice this over and over again on a daily basis to hear from God. Can I just give you some practical steps to take all this together? As we talk about the Holy Spirit guiding us, the Holy Spirit will glorify God. I gave you some practical things about how to discern, principles to keep in mind. I'm going to give you some next steps to do. You could actually do this starting today. First of all, practice the Kairos circle regularly. If you remember, this is the Kairos circle. Why is this important? This is part of learning how to live by faith. It is learning how to listen to God. So first of all, on the top, what you see is there's a situation that happens in life. Something happens. A closed door or open door. Or maybe a circumstance. Or maybe God speaks to you about something. And so that is what we call a Kairos moment right here. Something happens right here. And then what you have to do is then you have to start reflecting or observing what's happening, what's going on, or what has happened. And as you're asking God, you got to reflect on it and just think about how do you respond and how did you respond and why? So reflect on that. So something happened and you observe what happened and then you responded a certain way. So you got to reflect on why did I respond in anger? Why did I respond in fear? Why did I not speak to that person when I could have had the opportunity? So you got to reflect. And from there, you got to discuss, you got to find. This is where the community of believers or your mentors, find people where you can share some godly perspective. Maybe some things you're not seeing, some blind spots that you don't know. Maybe God is calling you to do something that you were so afraid to do, but then when you talk to some people, they're like, you know what, I feel like God is telling you, you got to step out in faith. Get out of your boat and step out and do what God is putting in your heart. And so you start discussing with people, the older people, and then from there you come out with a plan. What am I going to do now? God, you spoke to me about this. It was a prompting of the Holy Spirit. What am I going to do now? From there, you have accountability, because once again, a lot of times we could have a plan, but you don't carry it out. Find some people who, hey, did you end up applying for that thing, or did you end up doing that thing that you said you would do? Did you end up talking to that person that you said you were going to talk to? You need accountability. And lastly, you got to act on it. Do it. And then your life will then, something else will happen. And you go through the circle over and over again. Do this every single day, every single week, every single month, every single year. And I guarantee you, you're going to start distinguishing. You're going to be able to hear the prompting of the Holy Spirit. You will know. You will know. Because you've done this so many times. The second thing is this. Proactively seek counsel. Don't expect your leaders or your mentors to come up to you and say, hey, do you need my help? Do you need my counsel? Are you kidding me? I don't know how many times where I found out, oh, this person already made this decision. I'm thinking, I don't know if that's the wisest decision. And I said, did you seek any counsel, or did he or she seek any counsel? No, they just made a decision on their own. And then I just realized, wow, they failed to actively and proactively seek counsel. That's why God places spiritual authority. God places older brothers and sisters in your life. They're not there to harm you or make bad things happen to you. They're there to love you, to help you and guide you. Now, are some of them biased? Of course. Are some of them maybe not as strong as you thought they were? Yes, of course. That's why it's good to at least get counsel and then pray through it and hear from the Holy Spirit. So you got to proactively, you got to seek it out. Especially think about some of the decisions you have to make starting this coming year. You know, one of the things that we try to encourage people back when we were in the United States was, especially for the students, We said, before you make any decisions about housing, where you're going to live, I would always tell them, pray. Because it's just a natural tendency. I want to live with people that I like. And usually when you like them and after you room with them, you don't like them anymore. But anyway, you want to room with people that you like and you just want to be comfortable. And remember what I said in our church, if you're comfortable, something's wrong. So you know what I challenge people with? Not only did I tell them to pray about making a decision about where you're going to live, I said pray specifically of what it is that God wants you to do if you were not to live with your friends or certain people, but you were able to live in a dorm. But pastor, I'm a senior. I don't want to live in a dorm. There are a lot of things we don't want to do. But I said, if you live in a dorm, you have access to a whole floor of people that you can share the gospel. I'm going to touch upon something that's going to be really sensitive. I'm going to stand here in the corner and just talk to myself. Because I know if I look out, they're going to say, oh my God, Pastor Seth was looking right at me and he was speaking about me. I can't believe I hate him. So I'm going to look over here. I'm going to talk to the keyboard. There are some of you, 88 of you, black and white. There are some of you. Okay, those of you who are not musicians, you didn't get that joke. But anyway, there are some of us who I think you're dictated more by the world's values than the kingdom values. I am not against internships. I am not against exchange programs. I am not against any of those things. They're great. But I think somewhere deep inside, what it's rooted in your decision to do some of these things is, number one, I think some of you fear that if you don't do it, you're not going to get a job. If that's your mindset, you're not trusting in God. Some of you, it's rooted out of self-centeredness because you just want to, like, travel. I just want to do something different. Hong Kong is a little island. It just kills me. And I want to go out. This is the only opportunity I have. Once again, there's nothing wrong with those things. Don't misunderstand me. I'm just challenging you to go to the core of who you are, your motives. And the reason why I share this is because I'm thinking about the 35,000 people on one campus, the 24,000 people on another campus, the 7.3 million people in this city. And I'm just thinking to myself, I want every single person to experience Jesus Christ. I want every single person to come to know Jesus Christ. And one of the best ways to experience it is in life group. Because the invisible God becomes visible as we learn to love and share and forgive and to serve. And the challenge is this, not to say that internships and all the stuff exchange, those things are bad. Listen to me carefully. But if your motive for doing those things is rooted in fear, self-centeredness, all that stuff, I want to challenge you to rethink about your heart. Because what I would say then is, yes, these are great opportunities, but here's an opportunity for people to come to know Jesus Christ, and I want to be a part of that. I want people to experience what I've experienced, and if I can actually be a part of that work of transformation in that person's life, because I'm going to help build the community, because I've experienced it. I'm not a first year anymore. I've experienced it, so I want to do everything possible to help people to experience it, because I've experienced it, and so I'm going to trust in God. Or maybe I can delay it for another time. To me, that shows me that all your decisions that you're making is not about you, but it's about God and His kingdom. You value the kingdom. Now I'm going to get calls from your parents. Oh my God, what did you talk to my daughter about or my son? They canceled all their... No, I'm just challenging you to think. This is just one example, but there's so many others. Third, pray and listen to God. I realize some of us, we pray, but we only pray when we eat and when we're with other people in LCG and life group. Those are the only times we pray. Let's be honest. I'm wondering how many of you actually have specific times scheduled out in your schedule, your calendar, where you say pray. Even if it's for 15 minutes, you're saying pray. And no one touches that. No appointments, no distractions. This is when you pray. And the sad part is this. If I could speak freely again, I think many of us, we know we ought to pray, and we substitute our personal prayer time with group prayer, and we think that we're good. No wonder some of us are not able to grow in our personal relationship with Christ. No wonder so many of us don't know the heart of God. No wonder so many of us struggle to know what His will is, because we don't have that personal time. Can I just challenge you? Carve out, start off small. 5 minutes. At 12 o'clock, from 12 o'clock to 12:05, right before I even eat lunch, I'm going to spend 5 minutes praying. And then once that 5 minutes up, maybe some of you are like, I could do this. This is easy. And then you realize, man, I could do 10 minutes. From 10 minutes to 15, and then maybe 15 to 30. And just reserve a time in the schedule. I know we all have different schedules, but reserve some time to pray. And then that's how you're going to listen to God. Lastly, put the focus on making Jesus famous. You know, part of this whole thing that we're trying to listen to God, listen to His prompting, is that we want Jesus to be exalted in our lives. So many of us miss opportunities for Jesus to be exalted and for Him to be famous because we don't listen to what it is that He wants us to do. I'm going to close with this video. It's a story of this person named Eli. It's a very interesting story. He had a very difficult past. He even turned to Satanism. But there was a woman who heard the voice of God to do something, and she obeyed. And that was a part of the transformation process for Eli. And I want you to watch this and just listen to how God can use even a stranger if they listen to the voice of God. And through this, I pray that we will commit to ourselves to make this choice of listening to God's voice. Let's watch this together as we close. Let's stand together as we close. You know, it's a powerful testimony of a person whose life was completely in bondage to sin and to satanic influences, but now he's studying to counsel people and to make a difference in other people's lives. But the part that really spoke to me was that one lady who listened to the voice of God to go and pray for him. And the more I think about it, I realize that took courage. She probably heard God's voice many, many times, a prompting of the Holy Spirit many, many times. That when she heard that from God, she knew it was Him. So think about it. It was this lady who listened to God because God's heart was for this guy, Eli. She just became a channel of God's blessings and God's salvation. And through it, through her obedience, we see that a life was transformed. Now he's going to transform other people's lives. I'm just wondering if some of us, on any given day, if the Holy Spirit spoke to you about certain things, maybe talk to somebody or pray for somebody, or maybe just intercede for things of God's heart, that you'll be able to recognize His voice, discern what it is that He wants, and the prompting of the Holy Spirit, that you will respond to it. I want you to understand part of spiritual disciplines is that it's very similar to doing a skill or playing a sport. When it's game time, you cannot practice. When it's game time, whatever you did prior to that game will show forth during the game. And I feel like there's game time every single day, many, many different opportunities. And because some of us, we don't spend the time practicing, reading the Word, memorizing the Word, praying, listening to God's voice. We don't do that on a daily and a regular basis. When those opportunities come, we miss them. Will you make a commitment with me to saying, God, I want to practice. I want to train in knowing your word, in praying and listening, so that when you do speak, I will know right away it's you, God, and that he will give you the courage to obey. And you will be the start of a ripple in someone's life. That's why Jesus says, there's so many things I want to tell you now, but I'm not going to, because it's too much for you to bear. So he's telling you just enough. That's his grace over your life. But then he sent his spirit, the counselor, the helper, who's going to guide us and is going to glorify God. What we need to make today is the choice to listen to the voice of God. So Lord, I just pray for every single one of us here, regardless of where we are spiritually and how mature we may be or immature we are. I do pray, God, that every single day that does pass, that we will commune with you, we will know your heart more, that we will be able to study your word, memorize your word, so that we'll have the word in our hearts, that we will know exactly what it is that you want us to do. That no longer will we make decisions based on our opinions, our preferences, or even the world's values. We want to make decisions that is based upon your word. I pray, God, that you will develop greater trust, greater level of faith, so that we can really walk this walk and not just talk about it. I pray for every single person here, Lord. I just feel a burden to just pray for deeper connections and relationships, discipleship relationships that can be built in our church. I know some of us are a little bit older, some of us younger, somewhere in the middle. But let's just pray, God, help us to really be connected with one another. We're a spiritual family. And through that, we can share our struggles. We can share our decisions that we have to make. And let's pray that there will be people in our lives that will be able to speak God's perspective, God's truth. So can we just close out with that? I just feel burdened to pray for that, that there'll be deeper connections and relationships that we built. There'll be mentoring relationships, discipleship relationships, that we'll be humble to seek counsel and not try to make our own decisions on our own, being independent, that will lead to destruction. Where we find success, where we find joy, is when we're able to get the advice from others. Let it be consistent with the word and have peace in our hearts, and then we obey. Let's just pray for that together. And as we do normally, I want to encourage us just to reach out your hands and let's just lock hands together and let's just pray for our church this coming summer season as we're coming to a close in about a month. Let's ask God, Lord, with the time that we have left, help us to really strengthen the relationship. There's going to be new people joining our church in the autumn season. They got to be able to see a strong community for them to want to be a part of what God's doing here. So let's just ask the Holy Spirit to do that right now. Let's just pray together before God.